Welcome to the Home Project Podcast, where we talk about cultivating a thriving home and developing meaningful relationships. I'm Kelsey Harris, a therapist in training.
And I'm Alicia Anderson, an intentional homemaker, helping women feel confident and authentic home life.
This is where everyone has a seat at the table. I think that this is the most exciting start to a podcast we've ever done.
Yes, and why is that?
Because I got a puppy. She is so cute. I've been trying to convince Jordan for literally like a month, maybe longer.
I would say much longer.
Yeah, like that I want a puppy. And I'm like, well, I'm home all the time and like you're gone and I need a puppy and I'll be here. I'll train her. And I want to train, like I want to train a puppy before we have a kid. And he was like, well, I was kind of thinking that we wouldn't get a puppy until we had kids that were old enough to take care of it. And I was like, what? No, in my mind, you know, we get married, we get a puppy, then comes the baby. So I was like, no, like it's time for a puppy. Anyway, so I'm at church. He's at a different location. Literally sends me a picture of this puppy and goes, oh, she's $100. And I was like, why are you sending me this? Like, what do you mean?
Why are you playing with me?
Like, yeah, what kind of puppy is she? She's a German Shepherd Husky Heeler mix.
And she is the cutest little thing.
She's literally like a Pinterest puppy. Like, oh, so cute. We'll have to put her. Oh, she's on my Instagram, but. Yeah. We'll feature her on,
yeah, we should feature her on the Home Project. She's part of the Home Project family now.
But she's so cute. So we've had her since Sunday. It's only been 3 days, 4 days.
Yeah.
She's learning so quickly. She's very smart. But accidentally, we gave her cat treats.
No, mother accidentally.
Mother. So yeah, they were being like very sweet and they brought over like, you know.
Treats for our grand doggy.
Treats, which I think those treats you already had.
Yeah, I might
right?
have.
Like some stuff you bought
I actually
for her.
Bought those.
Really? Okay. So yeah, anyways, mom brought her these little treats. They're like tiny. We literally have like gone through a lot of them. And then Jordan was looking at the bag and he's like, these are for cats. And we were like, what? And it literally says cat treats for cats on the thing. And there's a picture of a cat on the front
of
the bag.
Did you see the picture? It kind of was cat dog-ish. In my defense.
Well, it's chasing a mouse on... I'm pretty sure.
Clearly, I didn't have my glasses on.
Honestly, she's liked them. So, but I did switch over yesterday because I was like wondering if it was upsetting her tummy.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't think, because I looked at the ink. She starts meowing. Anyways, she's so cute. And now I feel like I have a child. Today is actually my first day leaving her like for longer in the crate. I'm stressed.
You shed a tear as you walked out the door?
I do.
No.
I feel sad. I'm like, did she get to know that I love her when I come home? Because I've loved her all day. I know it's good. I know it's good for her to be in the crate.
Yeah. This is good training ground for being a parent as well. Not that you would leave your child at home.
I'm
but.
Never leaving my child. No, I'm just kidding. Anyways, today we are talking about making friends when you're an adult. This is so difficult. We have experienced difficulty ourselves in friendship, and we also get a lot of questions about, like when we ask you guys what you want to hear about. People are like, how to make friends as
this
an adult.
This has been
why
one of the number
so
one subjects.
So we're going to talk about that. We're going to jump into why is it so hard? And we did some research. We did some pondering, you know, talking to people, trying to figure out what is the thing that makes it so difficult as an adult. I think one thing is that adult social circles are more defined and this kind of limits. So it's like you have your church people, your work people. Maybe that's it. Like, it's very, when you're a kid, you're kind of getting thrown into a lot of things. You have neighbors, random kids will just come up to you like, hey, want to be my friend? And when you're an adult, it's kind of hard, especially if you have a busy life or if you're trying to balance work and family and all your different commitments, then it's like, it's kind of exhausting to then think about going and making friends.
I think we have a lot more walls as adults as well because of past experiences. So
that's true.
It causes us sometimes to maybe be more hesitant, to be more vulnerable. Mm-hmm. In an article in a magazine, the University of Maryland psychologist Marissa Franco says, sociologists have identified the ingredients that need to be in place for us to make friends organically. They are continuous, unplanned interaction and shared vulnerability. As we become adults, we have less and less environments where those ingredients are at play. And isn't that the truth?
Yeah, that is true. Especially continuous unplanned interaction.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, that's like when you're a child that happens. But
yeah,
I myself have struggled with like, okay, well, I'm trying to be a good wife and I'm trying to make sure the house is all good and I'm trying to make sure I get my work done and that I meal prep and I spend time with the Lord and I work out. And then it's like, if someone wants to be spontaneous, I'm like, well, but then I don't get my laundry done. Like,
yes.
It's definitely hard to be in environments, especially like depending what your schedule is. Like right now, I'm always at church on Sunday. So I have like a Sunday crew, which is also different people every week.
Yeah.
Some are the same. I'm home a lot of the time and there's not a lot of, now it's me and my little pup.
Yes.
Or I'm at your house and I already know you guys. Like,
yeah.
So I don't have a lot of, aside from we have co-group every other Thursday, like that's great, but there's not a lot of environments in which there's unplanned continuous interactions.
Yeah.
Like that's very interesting.
Yeah. I think too, you can be a lot of places in your daily routine or your weekly routine and still not connect with people.
Yeah.
So there's a deeper level of that. Like not only do you have to have these like, not they have to all be spontaneous, but like you have to constantly be pursuing. And we're going to talk about that more of like, how do you pursue those friendships?
Yeah.
How do you not just go through a week and be like, wow, I don't feel like I connected with one single person on a deeper level. And what does that look like?
Totally. I think another thing that is really hard when it comes to making friendships as an adult is fear of rejection. Yeah. Like when you're a kid, right? You have no cares in the world. You don't care. You're marching up to kids. Oh, what do you got there? Oh, what's going on? But when you're an adult, it's like, well, what if I ask them to hang out and they say no? Or what if, you know, they don't like me or I do something weird?
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, it feels not like dating, but it kind of is like very awkward, clunky in those beginning stages. Like,
yes.
Are we going to, you know, find common ground? Are we going to be agreeable? And it also feels very vulnerable putting yourself out there to make friends. Like, I think there's often a choice of like, okay, am I going to put myself out there, maybe feel a little awkward for a second, but maybe I'll make a friend? Or it's like, oh, she was really cool. We like had a nice conversation in the store, but dang, I should have like, you know, initiated something.
Mm.
But it's that fear of rejection sometimes that keeps us from stepping out. I also think being in different life stages makes it difficult.
It definitely does.
Wouldn't you say? I feel like you could speak to this a little bit more than I could because you've had kids and everything.
Yeah, I think we have to be very aware of like what season of life we're in. And I think different seasons breed different kinds of friendships. So like when you guys were little, a lot of our friendships were built around your friends' parents because we would do things together. Like, so we'd go to a birthday party or we'd go to a school activity or church, something at church. So it was naturally this bond of, oh, we have kids in the same age group.
Yeah.
But as you guys grew older and we didn't have that bond anymore, some of those friendships fizzled away. We still have some people from those seasons that I would say are like our lifelong friends. And I think that's the other thing is there's different levels of a friendship you experience.
Yes.
So some friends are for seasons and that's okay. And not that if I were to see those people again, I would be like so thrilled to see them, but we don't do life together.
Yeah.
Where there are other friends, a handful of friends that I would say, these are the people that when my life is going rough, I call them. Or I say, hey, friend, I know I haven't talked to you in a few months, but we can pick it up where we left off. And so just being aware, there are levels, but also there are seasonal changes that happen with friendship.
Yes. I really like what you said about there being different levels of friendship. Because I even think if I look at my category of friends, or like catalog, I definitely have the ones where I'm like, oh yeah, I could hang out with this person and this person and this person any time of the day, any time of the week, and it won't, like, they're refilling, refreshing, it's totally great. Then there are other friends I'm like, oh, it's fun to do like a brunch or two every now and then, but I don't think I could handle hanging out with them every single day. Like some people, you know, different levels of friendship take more effort from you than others, and it's just finding the different people.
Well, and I think it's recognizing they bring value to us in different ways.
Yes.
So some, maybe you just have a fun friend that you like to just go do fun things, but you don't ever go deep with, or you have another friend that every time you're together, you have these most deep, intense conversations. And so just recognizing that like not every friendship will look the same or bring the same value to your life, and that is okay. So I want to just even like, what does the Bible say about community? Yeah. Like, we always want to bring it back to what does the word say? And God desires for us to be in community. We were created to be with one another. God didn't create us to be in isolation. In Hebrews 10, verse 25, it says, "This is not the time to pull away and neglect meeting together, as some have formed the habit of doing. In fact, we should come together even more frequently, eager to encourage and urge each other onward as we anticipate that day of dawning." And then the other scripture is Psalm 133:1. It says, "How truly wonderful and delightful it is to see brothers and sisters living together in sweet unity." So there are many other verses, but God desires for us to be in community with one another. That's part of our DNA and who He created us to be.
Yeah. One last thing that I want to touch on in the sphere of why is it hard to make friends?
Yeah.
I think there's this thing, I'm going to call it the friendship pursuit, where we want to be pursued by other people. And at a certain point, we get like, well, I'm always the one reaching out to that friend, blah, 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 something like that. I had this moment like last year. I was kind of like, no one ever pursues me in friendship. I'm always the one pursuing them. Like, you know what? I'm really tired of this. I'm just not going to do it anymore. Yeah. And you know what? I had the loneliest year of my life, and it was no one's fault but my own. So it's like, even though I was tired and I was like, oh, I just want to be pursued. And it's not that that's a bad thing to do, but at the heart of that is like, no, I really wanted the Lord to pursue me, and that's what I was missing.
Right.
And then seeking that from friends, and I had to surrender that to the Lord and go, okay, if I'm always the one initiating the hangout, but they're always saying yes and showing up, then that's success. And that's fine, because we're still having time together. And maybe they're just not like, they don't think that way. And I'm not saying that you'll never find people that will pursue you back, but I really encourage you not to let that be something that puts you off of a friendship and sends you into self-isolation. Because even though I know it's tiring and it's hard to feel like you've tried and tried, but if you're putting yourself into isolation, at the end of the day, no one can, like, you can't blame anyone but yourself.
Yeah. I think it's important to recognize, too, in that moment, the enemy loves to see us in isolation because it gives him an open door to speak lies. So you isolate, and then you're like, see, no one really does want to hang out with me. See, I am not worthy of having friendship. And how quickly he can just twist and like kind of plant those deep-seated lies that you're not worthy of friendship. And that's not true, because you are worthy of friendship, friend. You deserve to have this. And I don't, when I say deserve, like, oh, we are owed this, but that's part of who we are. Like, God wants to be our friend. He wants us to have friends. And that's a deep part of a need that each one of us has at the core of who we are. So don't let isolation be the thing that keeps you from that. And it does require us to step out of our comfort zone. And we're going to talk about that in a minute, because I am more of an introvert than I am an extrovert. And so that's something I personally have had to walk through myself in different seasons of life.
Yes. And before we started this podcast, Mom and I were actually just chatting about, you know, where do you start to make friends? And I'm very extroverted, so all of my ideas are very, well, you just go to this thing and you put yourself out there. And Mom's like, well, but I don't want to do, what about the people that don't want to? I'm like, I don't know, because I'm not that person. So I'm going to give you some ideas from an extrovert, and then Mom's going to kind of talk through maybe what it's like being an introvert, which I know is a more difficult when it comes to putting yourself out there.
Yes.
So for us extroverts, join a group or a club in your area. Attend, you know, if so-and-so, a friend of a friend invites you to a social event and you might not super feel like it, just go anyways, because you'll probably have a good time. You'll meet people you don't know. You can volunteer somewhere. Like, I have made a lot of friends serving at church.
Yeah. Like, it's a great place to make
lots
friends.
Lots of my friends, I'm on kids team and a lot of my friends are there. I'm also on the choir, and I feel like that team is like less frequent in how much I serve, but even still, it's a good, I meet like new people each time I serve, and we always connect together over just like, oh, we're singing together or whatever.
Right.
But if you feel like a crowd overwhelms you, oh my gosh, then pursue one-on-one hangouts if that feels more comfortable.
Yeah. I think to recognize part of the reason why we say, oh, join a club or volunteer is it instantly gives you a bond with someone of a common ground. So for you, kids church, you're all serving in kids together. Yeah. You're all like,
oh, building these Legos together.
So even before you know this person, it gives you something to talk about. It gives you a point of connection, which ultimately is the thing that leads to a deeper friendship. When we're able to connect with someone and show vulnerability and then let that friendship grow from there.
Yeah.
So that's why we're not like, just go get in a club.
Just go for fun.
There is a reason behind wanting, giving these ideas.
Well, even at church too, even when you're in these groups, maybe this is speaking more towards an introvert or maybe just someone who's dealing with insecurities but is extroverted. Yeah. I know the first year or so of me hanging out or serving in kids, I didn't have a lot of friends, but that's because I would just show up. I would not really talk to anybody. I would serve with the kids and then move on. Where now, when we have a whole setup period and a whole this, I'm always asking, hey, how long have you been in Nashville? What brought you to Nashville? What brought you to this church? What do you do for work? And then I try to remember. So the next time I serve with them, sometimes it's months. I'm like, hey, how's your nursing job going? And they're like, oh. And then, so it's just kind of being intentional also to just ask questions and go after people too, not just showing up.
I'm going to share a recent story that just literally happened to me this past weekend. And I have had to battle with insecurities. I've shared this before along the way for different reasons and different things, but I've worked really hard and I've been working really hard at being confident. And I found myself in a situation where I definitely felt those insecurities kind of flaring up. We had gone to a picnic. We went thinking it was going to be us, one other couple, two other couples. So we thought there was going to be six of us. I was like, fine, I can handle a small gathering. That doesn't intimidate me. I can have conversation. I sort of loosely know the one couple and we're friends with the other couple. So it felt very safe. Well, we get there and there's 20 people. And I went on internal meltdown because I hadn't mentally, as an introvert, prepared for a group of strangers. And so it took me a minute. And I'm standing on this hill where this picnic is, kind of looking at all these kind of, I say they were cliques, but they were just groups of people that were already engaged in conversation. Mm-hmm. It wasn't that they weren't kind at all, but they were already all just in conversation. And I was like, okay, where do I insert myself? Because it does feel awkward, especially if you're an introvert, to just walk into a group of people and be like, hi, I'm just going to put myself out there.
See that? I'm like, this is, we were talking about this. Yes. I'm like, yeah, I would totally do that. Mom's like, no, I could never.
I'm like, oh. So, but I was like, okay, this is not a big deal. I had to take a minute and sit in the fear and sit in the panic as it was and say, okay, this isn't a big deal. You can find someone to talk to. And so I kind of scanned around the group of people. And because it was a picnic, people were kind of oddly spread out as well. And some people were sitting at the picnic table. So I was like, well, I'm not going to go sit over there because that feels really invasive. There was a group of guys and a group of women. And then I saw another woman off to the side with her little girl. And so I thought, oh, there we go. I'm going to go talk to her.
One person.
I'm going to start there. And so I did. I went over, introduced myself. And funny enough, we literally live in the same neighborhood half a block away.
That's funny.
So instantly it gave us a connection point and it started a conversation. Now, we are not in the same season of life. She's a young mama with a little two-year-old beautiful girl. But it wasn't about that. It was about we share the neighborhood vibes and we were able to talk about that for quite a long time. But then it led us to deeper conversations about life. And then that conversation and friendship kind of introduced us to her sister, who also just moved here recently and lives nearby. And it was it took a minute, but because I was willing to not just my default would have been I'm just going to run to the bathroom and hide there. But I was like, no, I'm going to find a way to put myself out there. I'm going to do it scared and do it feeling uncomfortable anyway. Yeah. And then I had some really great conversations. And out of that, actually, my husband and I made a couple connections with people that we're now going to meet for dinner or grab coffee. So I think it's having the mindset that hey, when I get to this event or this thing, I'm going to be presented with opportunity. Yeah. What am I going to do with that? And I know for an introvert, that feels scary. It feels hard, but it's worth the risk.
Yeah.
Because that is how we pursue friendship, is being able to put ourselves out there and not just waiting to be pursued. Because if everyone's waiting to be pursued and no one wants to be the pursuers, then no one's friends. And that's boring.
Would you say that, like, for extroverts, I think it's different. That's why I'm asking you. Would you say it's getting over the initial, like, you finding the one person then opened up all these other conversations? Is that pretty consistent in other social situations, or is that just kind of dependent on?
For me, it is. I think it probably depends on the person. So I'm like I'll scan the crowd. If we're in a bigger crowd, this is just how I function. I will scan the crowd and I will look for that person who doesn't have anyone else talking to, because I feel like they're also looking.
Yeah.
They're probably feeling the same way I am.
Yeah.
I'm not like dad, my husband, will just insert himself in a group of guys, and he does it so well.
That's where I get it from.
He's like, you just got to talk to people. And I'm like, what do you mean you got to just talk to? Like, for me, that doesn't make sense. Like, it's hard for me to do that and feel natural. I'm not saying I don't do it sometimes, but I'll look for the smaller crowd or the people that I see another person standing off to the side. And then I tend to stick with that person until I feel like either they've moved on or someone else has maybe joined our group and started talking with us. So it's learning to have an awareness in a crowd of people of like, where can I find connection right now?
Yeah.
Rather than just being swallowed up in the sea of people, because otherwise you never actually kind of find that place of connection. So,
yeah.
And sometimes I have done this. You'll go talk to that person and like, they are not interested in connection, and that becomes very clear. So, you know, have a small conversation and then be like, well, it was nice meeting you, and just kind of move on and find someone else. So sometimes it takes a couple tries to find that person in the room that you're like, oh, I feel like I can connect with you. And it's kind of becomes a bit of a treasure hunt. Like, who can I find that I feel like we have something that we can connect on? Maybe it's a hobby, maybe it's a job, a career field, or a similar interest, or your kids, if you have kids, like, what does that look like for you? So, but that doesn't just happen accidentally most of the time. It happens because you're willing to put yourself out there.
Yeah. Another tip that I have is when you happen to stumble upon common ground with another person, just go in for friendship. So what do I mean? An easy one is if you have kids, right? And your kids are at the park, they're getting along. Oh, hey, strike up a conversation with the mom.
Yeah.
If you are in a store and you run into somebody and like they're kind of whatever, you end up connecting that you're in the same career field. Oh, you want to, let's grab coffee and talk about it sometime. Or a hobby. Actually, this happened the last week to Jordan. So he had taken this shirt. It was like a long sleeve trench coat, and he cut it into more of just like a button up short sleeve shirt. Cool. And we go to the factory in Franklin, and this guy literally stopped him and was like, bro, where did you get your shirt? It is so cool. And Jordan's like, oh, I actually made it like, you know, this morning. And he was like, what? That's sick. And then somehow like they were just kind of like, oh, where are you from? They started talking, and it was a group of friends. Turns out he's visiting from Seattle, but he's interested in making a clothing line the same as Jordan is making a clothing line.
Cool.
And then Jordan's literally like, bro, let me get your number. Let's like, maybe let's do this together. Let's call. So it's like a complete stranger, but my husband's a little more introverted.
Yes.
But he like just put himself out there, and it was a little bit awkward at first. Like, oh, like whatever. And now they like traded numbers, and who knows, maybe they'll like hop on a call and start a business together. So you never know. Like, I think just jumping on, if you find something in common ground, don't let it go by where you're like, oh, man, that girl in the coffee shop was cool. I should have just asked her. Like, I think, wouldn't it be better to feel awkward for 10 seconds and then possibly get a friendship than stay lonely for months?
Yeah.
That's my motto. And I actually, something I do is if I feel awkward or weird, I just lean into it.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of, that's how before when I was insecure and before I came out of my shell and embraced all things extrovert, I would just be like, I would like say something awkward, and I'd be like, oh, sorry, I'm awkward. And then just, or just like go with it, lean into it, and kind of, it like cracked open the space a lot and got people laughing and then made friendship way easier.
I have a question for you. It just made me think about, we were talking on our Unity and Marriage podcast about bid for connection in a marriage relationship. But I'm like, I just, as you were talking, I was like, well, could that work the same way in a friendship?
Totally.
That you like put out a bid for connection. Do you want to maybe explain that in case someone hasn't heard that podcast?
If you haven't listened to it, I recommend you go and listen to it. Even if you're not married, it has a lot of good nuggets. But we were talking about connection bids, which is something that the Gottmans discovered for relationships, where the more that you throw out an idea of like, hey, let's go kiss in the rain. This is like in relationships, right. Obviously. Like, let's go hang out in the rain. And then your significant other is like, yeah, let's go do that. Then you guys have had a successful, like a connection bid that was met. And the more of those you have, the more successful your relationship is. So for sure, in friendship, if you're like, hey, what are you doing right now? You want to go for a walk? And they're like, yeah, cool. You just made connection.
Right.
Or like even I have a friend that I have been reconnecting with recently, and we had been trying to figure out a time to do, and we're trying to look, and it's like,
yeah,
oh, in 2 weeks and this, because sometimes it's hard, you know, when you have busy schedules. And then she texted me on Saturday and was like, hey, this is super last minute, but are you free tonight? And I was like, I had just told mom I would come over for dinner, but I knew mom wouldn't be offended because I'm over here a lot.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what, mom, I actually think I'm going to go hang out with this friend. I think I'm supposed to. And I didn't feel like it, guys. I was tired. I had kind of gotten into a blah mood, and I was like, Jordan's like, you should just go. You'll probably have fun. And I'm an extrovert, and I still was like, ugh. And I was like, Lord, should I go? And he's like, yes. I'm like, okay. So I just texted her. I was like, yeah, actually, I totally am free. And it was like in 2 hours. And then we had the most fun. And
so cool.
So just like connection bid. Yeah. Reach out. There's one friend that I have who I love her. We go so deep when we're together, but we don't hang out very often because she has a child right now. And I totally understand that's like, or, you know, it's her baby. She's taking care of him. But I probably invite her to things like 3 times a week. I try. I'm like, hey, what are you doing today? Hey, you want to go for a walk? Hey, you want to do this? Just to put it out there.
Yeah.
Because I know one day, one of the days she'll be able to, and then we get to connect.
Yeah. I think that's an important piece. If you feel like there's some, like if you feel a connection with someone or you feel like a desire for friendship and they say no one time, don't stop pursuing them.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it is just a schedule thing. Maybe if you've tried 10 times and they're like, no, then just, you know, but don't just be like a one and done and be like, well, I guess that, you know what I mean? So keep asking.
There's also a difference when people are like, oh, I really want to, but I have this and this going on. Yeah. Hopefully that person would be genuine.
Yes.
Compared to a person where you can kind of tell they're like, well, I just don't have capacity for friendship in this season, or my season's really busy. Like you can kind of tell when someone's trying to dodge you versus someone who genuinely like is just.
Or, oh, let's do lunch sometime.
And you're like, when? They're like, oh, you know, just text me. You're like, no, let's schedule it right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Be intentional, like in that moment to say, hey, let's just pull out our calendars right here and get something on the calendar.
Yes. Also, be vulnerable and authentic. The people, I've said this before, people are longing for authenticity of people. Like, if they ask how you're doing and you're not doing well, and it's your second time hanging out, tell them, because you'll probably connect over that more than you going, yeah, good, and forcing a smile on your face. Like, you know what? I'm actually having a really hard time with my boss. And they're like, oh, what's wrong? And then you talk about it.
Is there a vulnerability that's too deep in initial friendship?
I don't think so. I mean, obviously.
I totally just put you on the spot.
No, that's okay. I'm the type of person where most people know about me like from the get-go that I am deep and I care about you and I will like not make you talk to me, but one of my first few questions is going to be, how are you really doing? How's your heart?
Yeah.
Like, are you okay? And I'll make like stop them until they are honest with me, because I just have no grace or grid for like fakeness anymore.
Right.
But that being said, if you have been hurt a lot in your life and maybe sharing vulnerable things feels more tender to you, it's probably not the best practice just to go start sharing everything deep with a person you don't know much about.
Yeah.
Because you want to make sure that they're a safe person. So I'm not necessarily saying on your second coffee date, tell them about all your childhood trauma or like friendship, but be a little bit more like, okay, so
don't just stay at the surface.
Yeah. Don't just stay at the surface. You can venture into like, oh, what are you passionate about?
Yeah.
Like even that is kind of deeper for some people, but it's not like, what's the biggest trauma you've had in your life?
Yeah.
Like there's a difference. Also, some other good questions to ask when you're just like not sure where to start or how to spark up conversation beyond like, how's your day? What did you do for work? I'm stealing this one from my dad. This is his like famous question. If time and money weren't a factor, what would you do with your life? This one's fun because you get to learn about them, what they really want to do versus what they're doing. I said, what are you passionate about? What's your favorite childhood memory? What's your favorite thing to do in your free time? Or even like, what do you like about living in this area? Yeah. If you guys live in the same city.
And it can be some as simple as like, what's your favorite coffee shop around here? Like it can open up a conversation. The point of these questions is to help find a place of connection with that person.
Yeah. And honestly, I always like to ask about people's family. Mm-hmm. You can usually tell, like sometimes people have a bad situation or it's kind of tender.
Yeah.
So obviously if you're like, oh, you know, what are your parents like? And they're like, oh, like, and they respond negatively. Don't keep asking questions. But if someone's like, oh, I have two sisters, I'm like, oh, tell me what they're like. Like, what do they do? Like, you know, because then it just kind of spurs conversation and connection.
I had that happen recently. I asked, someone had stopped by that we hadn't seen in a long time, and I asked them about a family member, and I could instantly see their whole body language change, and I went, oof. But I did ask because I wanted them to know I cared, but then later on in the conversation, it kind of circled back around, and they were then more willing to be open and share about why it was tough. And so I think sometimes, even though that you might have that initial reaction, don't be quick to say, oh, that's why, because maybe it's just that they're not ready to share yet. They don't feel safe with you, or they haven't built that trust. Yeah,
you know what? I've had that happen to me lots in the last few weeks too, where I ask, oh, how's this? And you can tell it's a tough spot, but then by the end of the conversation, they've shared more with me and I understand. So that's a good point.
So just don't take it personal. That's fine.
Yeah, don't take it personal. So when you're, you know, starting off, don't give up. I know sometimes it can be tiring, but keep trying until you find your people, because I promise they are out there.
Yeah.
And even like personally, I'm still looking for some of my people.
Yeah.
I have very good friends, but me and Jordan are looking for married friends that like we can do life with, and we can just be more spontaneous, and it can be less planned, and just like, and I enjoy hosting people. I enjoy
puppy parents like you.
Puppy parents. So if you're a young married couple in the Spring Hill local area or Franklin local area and you have a puppy and you want to hang out, please let me know.
Call her, please. No.
Please DM me. See, this is, I'm like very expert. I'm like, anybody and everybody, DM me. We can be friends. It's fine. Yes.
When we moved, so we worked for family for 20 years. 10 years for Jamie's family, 10 years for my family. And we were always involved in like ministry. So making friends in those seasons were super easy because we were constantly surrounded by people. We were constantly leading co-groups, small groups, and things like that. But then we moved here and it was like, one, we don't have young kids anymore. Our kids are grown and out of the house. And then we were like, well, we have to like actually make friends. Like, how do you even do that? Like, honestly, like I kind of had a friend crisis identity. Like, I don't know how to do this. And so we like talked about it. We're like, okay, what's going to be our game plan? So obviously we got connected at church. We started going to Go Group, which is what they call it, where we go to church. And honestly, the first one we went to was really awkward and they were not our people. They were sweet as could be. And there was nothing wrong with them, but we just recognized these are not people that we have a lot in common. And so once that season of group was over, we joined a different group. And it took us doing that. And the second group was completely different. And we actually made some friendships that we still have to this day and kind of led us into some deeper friendships. But also this was just how we did it. We had tons of people over for dinners. And some of those dinners were great. Like we were like, great, cool. We've like made a friend. Yeah. Other ones were like, you're awesome people, but I don't see us like doing life.
Right.
And we still see those people. It's still like, hey, how are you? But it's not, it's still surface level. So I think sometimes it's, I say trying on friendship for a lack of better words, but really it is searching for that place where you find that friendship that you know is going to be valuable in both directions.
Yes. And even for me, when we moved here, we weren't engaged at the time we were dating. We moved together, but not in together.
Yeah.
Separate. We just knew we were going to get married at that point. So it was like, if you're moving, I'm moving. Anyways. So when we got here, I had made a connection. One of my favorite friendship stories to tell is my friend Kate. And she won't mind that I'm sharing. Because I think it was when I was visiting. You guys had moved up here.
Yep.
I was visiting. You paid for me to get my hair done at your salon.
Yep.
And I go, and she was like the intern of your hairdresser.
That's correct.
And so she just kind of did like the shampooing in between the hair drying. And we just really connected. And then, like, I think by the end of it, I don't remember if it was her or I. She's like, can we, like, exchange numbers? I just feel like we should stay connected. I was like, sure. And I didn't leave going, that was so weird. I was like, that was so cool. Like, I would have never thought to just reach out like that. And then we didn't really keep in contact much. I went back to California for a year. But then when I moved here and I was like, okay, well, I have to make friends. I was like, oh, I have Kate's number. Let me ask Kate. So I texted Kate and was like, hey, like, do you want to be friends now? Like, I just moved here. And she's like, yeah, sure. I still need friends. We're like, okay. So we just started going to coffees. And now that was 4 years ago. Now I'm like, we're both married. She's about to have a little baby. Like, it's just so fun to see that. But we also did experience a little bit of a roughness in the beginning of making friends. We got thrown into like an environment where people just seemed to not be as scared of us, or I don't know, like not really want to talk to us, and we didn't really know how to reach out. And eventually, like I would say at this stage in our life, we both individually have good friends that we've made over time.
Yeah.
A lot of them were just from like us attending TBCO College. That's where we met a lot of them, or from church.
Yeah.
But I would say, like I said before, we're still in the stage of, okay, Lord, how do we find married people to hang out together? Because it's great and important that we have individual friends.
Yeah.
But also we don't want to spend all of our time apart with separate friends. We want to spend time together and with other people together. So that's been a little bit more difficult because life it is just so different when you get married. Like, not that you can't hang out with people that aren't married in altogether, but it's just there's something different about hanging out with other married people that understand, oh, we're all in this marriage thing together, and like, you know, schedules are different. And so just to like share that you can have good friends and you can also still be looking for friends at the same time and to don't be discouraged.
I think it's important to recognize too that friendship is not a destination, it's a journey.
Yeah.
So it can take a while. Like, it took us almost 2.5 years to like find people that we were like, oh, these are people that we have the potential to do life with. And that can feel discouraging in the journey sometimes because you can feel like there's maybe some sparseness in between those seasons of friendship. But hang in there, keep pursuing. Don't be afraid to put yourself out there. Don't wait to be pursued. Be the pursuer and see what God will do. He'll meet you in that and bring you friendship. I'm going to wrap it up with this quote. It says, we need friends we can be ourselves around. Friends that can see through our fake smiles and our outer armor. Friends that will celebrate the littlest things with us and cry with us when we're in the trenches. Friends who don't care how long it takes us to respond to a text or call. Friends who will help us become the most authentic version of ourselves. That's the kind of friends we need.
Yeah. And if you want to talk to us about your friendship woes or celebrate with us a friendship that you have made after listening to this podcast, or if you just want to be friends with us, you can you can message us on our Instagram. Our Instagram handle is @thehomeproject.co. You can also head over to our website and throw your email in there to join the community. That website is also thehomeproject.co. See you next week.